All right, if you've got your Bibles there, go ahead and come to Psalm 133. Now, we're just going to do a short devotional tonight, a little bit of a Bible study. I read this verse in my devotions, or this chapter in my devotions a few weeks ago, and it stood out to me, and it's just been one that's been continuing to, I guess, bubble over in my mind over the last few weeks. And Andrew and I caught up a few weeks ago, and we're just sitting down talking about these three verses here that David writes. And there's some pretty important stuff in there. There's some stuff in there that can really speak to us as a church. But there's some stuff in there that should really bring us some joy and some excitement. So let's go ahead and look at that. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father. Father, again, we come before you, and it's the middle of the week, and Father, people are tired, and Father, I appreciate that they're here tonight, that they're here to glorify you with their time of singing and with their time now of listening and applying to their hearts. And then, Father, later on, as we come together and we pray and we come before you, the great God, the great creator of the universe, the one who knows us more intimately than anyone else. So, Father, tonight I need you. I need you as we look at this passage, as we study this together. And, Father, we need you. We need you to continue to work in us and to mold us and to shape us and to conform us into people that can better glorify you. And, Father, thank you that you love us so much, that you draw us to yourself and you do that work within us. And, Father, in your name, amen. So as we look at that chapter there. Again, just three short verses, but David starts off, he starts off with "behold," and we hear that all the time, right? But if you look at the end of that first verse there, he ends that with an exclamation mark. There's a passionate plea here. "Behold," there's a joy in this. There's something enthusiastic about what David is saying here. And he says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity." And we look at that, and we perhaps as you're reading through your Bible and you glance through that, and it's pretty simple, right? How good and how pleasant, right? We look at that and we sort of casually go over it. But as you pull apart these verses, that word "good" there, and you think about different languages, and as you go back to the Hebrew, we see good and it's just good, right? It's just a singular word. But as you go back to the Hebrew, good can be used in different places, in different ways, in different accents to point out what's important about what he's saying. And in this particular context, when David says, "Behold how good," the picture that this accent on good is often used for is in the context of a tree that is bearing fruit productively. It's a tree that is doing what it's meant to do. It's a tree within an orchard, and the farmer expects for that tree to produce fruit. He's dependent on it. It has a job to do, right? And so he starts this, and that's the context here the accent for this word "good." There's this expectation that it's the right thing. And David says, "Behold how good." That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the expectation from God, that there is unity within brethren. That's the right thing. That's what it should look like for us as a church. So we see there, "Behold how good," this is the right thing, this is the expectation from God, this is what should be happening. And then he says, "And how pleasant." So on one side, we've got the expectation, and on the other side, we've got the desire. We desire for pleasant things, right? We desire for things to spark our passion. We desire for things to make us enthusiastic. We desire for things to bring joy into our lives. And as we look at this, behold how good it's meant to be this way. And then what comes after that is the pleasantness. As we do what God expects us to do and we live in unity, we come together in unity as believers, there's a pleasantness that comes out of that. There's an impact that occurs to us as believers as we do what we're meant to do. That's what flows out of it, that pleasantness. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to do what? To dwell together. You know, we don't see unity when we're not dwelling together. Right? It's easy to be unified with someone that you never spend any time with. But when we start to spend time together, what do we start to do? We start to see problems with each other. We start to see differences in opinion, differences in approaches to things. But that's where unity blossoms. When we're dwelling together, when we're spending time together, unity grows. And for us as believers, that unity should be built around this. That unity should be built around our individual desire to glorify God, our individual desire to spend time in God's Word, our individual desire to grow in our knowledge of God's will for our lives. As we do that, we individually or collectively, we all start to be unified. And that's good and pleasant. And that's what God expects of us. That's what God desires of us. And there's a joy that He gives us in that, but there's also a joy that He gets in that. So David goes on from there, behold how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he gives a couple of examples. He says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. And we read that and we go, okay, that's a little bit strange. But as we dig into that, there's actually quite a bit of significance, quite a bit of depth in that. As we look back further into the Old Testament, if we go to Exodus 30, and we have a picture here of the anointing of the high priest, right? And so this oil is produced, and we look at chapter Exodus 30, and we start in verse 22 there, and it says, "Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels." And as we work through that, he sort of teaches them and talks to them, how do you make this special ointment? How do you make this precious oil that you're going to pour over the head of the high priest, and you're going to pour over the tabernacle and the table there? How do you make that? And God provides a description of how that is, right? So we see that there's a sacredness about this precious oil that he's supposed to make here. As we come down to the bottom of that chapter, have a look at verse 31 of 33 there, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon men's flesh shall it be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it." So this is a one-off. You're making this once for this anointing, right? "After the composite of it, and it shall be holy, and it shall be holy unto you." So we come back to chapter 133 of Psalms there, and this is what he's talking about. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment. We see a couple of things there. This ointment that was made was very fragrant. There was a smell about this. There was something special about this ointment. It stood out in its fragrance. We look at those first three spices there that were used to make this in there. All three of them, I had a look at them. All three of them are very fragrant spices. There's a fragrance to our unity. When we're unified as the body, the world smells that, right? And it smells sweet, right? That sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? But that's what happens. Our unity looks different to the world. So we see that there's a fragrance about that. There's also a sacredness about that. This was an anointing that was directed by God. Our unity in God is sacred. It's not something that's trivial. It's not something that's happenstance. We're unified because of who we are in Christ. We're unified because of the time that we spend in God's Word. We're not just unified because we love New South Wales football team, right? We're not just unified because we all play music. We're not just unified because we have a school. We're unified because we love the Word of God and because we desire to grow close to God. And there's a unity because of that. There's a sacredness in that unity. There's a fragrance that the world sees. There's a sacredness in that. And what else do we see here? There's also an excessive amount as you look at that. Look at what he says there. When we think of anointing, right, what do you think of? A little bit of oil poured on someone's head? And we kind of go, that's a little bit gross the way he describes it. There's so much oil being poured on Aaron's head that it's coming down onto his beard. And I'm like, stop that. You know, don't pour that much oil on me, right? But there's an excessive amount of oil that's coming, being poured on his head. It comes down on his beard so much so that it goes all the way down to the skirts, the bottom of his garments. Our unity should be excessive, so much so that it impacts more than just our church staff, more than just our faithful that come every Sunday and every Wednesday night. Our unity should be so excessive that it impacts everybody. It flows down and impacts everybody. If we look at the next verse there, verse 3. So we have this picture at the front. He says, behold, and how good and how pleasant. That's what it should be. That's what our unity should be. It should be good and it should be pleasant. And he paints this picture through this ointment, this oil that's poured on Aaron's head. And he comes down to this last part. And it says, as the dew of Hermon. And that's not Pastor Hermon sweating after basketball. That's a different type of dew. The dew of Hermon, this is Mount Hermon. Right? So Mount Hermon is at the far northern part of Israel. It's the highest peak in that region. It's almost 3,000 meters tall. For a significant portion of the year, Mount Hermon is covered in snow. Read what he says there. As the dew of Mount Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion. So here we have the dew that's on Mount Hermon impacting Mount Zion, impacting Jerusalem, impacting that whole region. And to this day, Mount Hermon, that region, has the highest rainfall, the highest amount of weather events to anywhere else in that region. The whole of the Jordan River and the valley either side of it, the most fertile part of Israel, all of the water, the majority of the water in that area comes from Mount Hermon. As the snow melts and it comes down off the mountain, a little bit like this oil is coming down off the priest's head, as the snow melts and the water comes down off the mountain, it impacts the valleys. It impacts the little streams and the little places around about it. As a church, as we're unified, as we're glorifying God in that unity, it has an impact in here. It has an impact on those that are new to our church, but it also starts to have an impact outside of our church. As we're unified and as we have conference in just a couple of weeks, Think about all the people that are coming in here. And those people, as they see us as a church, unified, caring for one another, coming around the Word of God together, there's an impact that's greater than we have individually. There's an impact that we have collectively as we have good and pleasant unity because we dwell together, because we're united because of the Word of God. That's where we should be. And David's writing this, and we don't exactly know the exact time period that David wrote this, but most scholars look at this as right after that time where David gets crowned king and Israel finally comes together. There's been issues and internal fighting and all of this stuff, and Israel finally comes together, united under one king. And David says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what we need to do. We need to come together around this. We need to come together and grow in our passion, our love for the Word of God. We need to allow that to impact us here. And as that unity happens, it impacts outside of here. That's all I've got for you tonight. That's my devotional for tonight. But can I encourage you? Spend time in God's Word, but spend time in God's Word to be united. We need to be united as a church. And that's glorifying to God. It smells good to the world. It impacts the world. Let's be united as a church. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then, Julie, you can come up. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we come before you. And Father, I'm so grateful that as I grow in my knowledge of your word and you impact my life and you change me, and as my brothers and sisters here grow in your word and your word impacts life and their lives and it changes them, Father, I'm so grateful that we begin to be more united around the cross. We begin to be more united because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Father, that's so much better than me trying to battle the world by myself. And Father, we as a body of believers are united because of who we are in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray tonight that we would recognize that. And Father, that it would be good and it would be pleasant, that it would be what you expect, but then it would be pleasant. It would be pleasant for us and it would be pleasant for you. Father, I pray that you would use this church, that you would bring us together, that we would have an impact in our communities in this country. Father, we love you. I'm grateful for the work that you are doing in this church. In your name, amen.